welcome to the next in the series of Journeying Through the Bible, and today I would like to read from Matthew chapter 6 as a continuation of the previous teachings which have been done on the Lord's Prayer, but this time highlighting verse 11, which says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper in Yeshua's mighty name. To be quite honest, having read this verse and prayed it as part of the Lord's Prayer on numerous occasions, I've often thought it to be almost a kind of a letdown, considering that the Bible is full of other scriptures which point towards God's will for abundant prosperity and His miraculous provision, simply because that is exactly who He is. The very nature of our Heavenly Father is to be a good provider for His children. So give us this day our daily bread seemed to me to do rather an injustice to a God who is so great, so powerful, and who, I want to just make reference to Romans chapter 10 verse 12, is described as abounding in riches or blessings for all who call upon Him in faith and prayer. Now that word rich in the Greek is plutos, and it means to make wealthy, possessions, abundance, riches, to be increased with goods. Now, when I read this scripture, "Give us this day our daily bread," I thought surely there must be more to this prayer than simply asking our Father God to provide a loaf or two or even a plate of sandwiches on a daily basis. When I compare it to that previous scripture in Romans 10 verse 12, which says that He wants to literally load upon us goods and prosperity in the physical, I thought, well, how on earth can it sound so almost insignificant? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. As if He were to, you know, give us the bare essentials every single day. And so in my attempt to dig deeper into the meaning of the seemingly insignificant verse, I was thrilled to discover that yes, there certainly is an amazing truth. Nuggets of, almost like nuggets of gold, are hidden in this tiny portion of scripture. So what I did some research on the word bread, and I found out that bread itself has always played an important role in the Bible, especially from the perspective of the Israelites and their worship, both in the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. And then similar traditions used in New Testament worship, for example, by Yeshua Himself giving instructions to His disciples to participate in the Lord's Supper, otherwise known today to us as the modern day contemporary church as communion or breaking of bread. Just a constant reminder of all that our Savior accomplished for mankind through His death on the cross and His powerful resurrection. Now, according to Jewish tradition, the bread was never ever cut, but it was always broken. And this symbolizes for us the broken body of Christ. And I think that's something, it's so important to remember that when we partake of communion, to always make sure if there is bread that it is broken, because it just helps us to remind ourselves of what Christ did on the cross when His body was totally broken open so that we can receive life. Now, going on with the importance and the significance of bread from the Hebrew perspective, of the Israelite perspective, going right back from the Old Testament right through into the New Testament, the Greek word for bread is ortos, which literally means bread or a loaf. The Hebrew word for bread is lechem, L-E-C-H-E-M, and it means an assortment of foods, including bread, meat, or provision in general. It's interesting to note that the same Hebrew word is found in the name Bethlehem, or from a Hebrew perspective, they would say Bethlehem, which means house of bread. This small town in Israel is famous for several reasons. Firstly, it was the birthplace of David, and also the place where he was anointed the king of Israel. David is commonly portrayed in the Bible as a type or a shadow of Christ, and paints a prophetic picture for us of the birth of the Messiah, which was to take place many years later in the very same town. Bethlehem is often referred to as well as Bethlehem Ephrath, E-P-H-R-A-T-H, which means fruitfulness. And the district surrounding the town has always been known for its fertility and productivity. So in a nutshell, having discovered the emphasis and the significance of Bethlehem, meaning house of bread, and that association with Christ, or of the Messiah, the coming Messiah of the Hebrews, and seeing what Christ did, it all points and paints a picture for us of bread in Israel generally being known as a symbol of God's providence and his great provision. And Yeshua himself in John chapter 6, verses 33 and 35, he actually refers to himself as the bread of God and the bread of life. So just reading from verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall never be hungry, and the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty, for that one will be sustained spiritually." Now these scriptures refer to Yeshua as Lord and as Savior, who longs to manifest his presence in the lives of every single person who chooses to reach out to him and to make him Lord and Savior. Having purchased for each one of us a rich inheritance through his death and resurrection, and in doing so, providing for us an inheritance which includes not only the forgiveness of sin, which is obviously priority because that connects us with Almighty God, but also that rich inheritance of provision, of protection, of healing, deliverance, prosperity in general, wholeness. He is the bread of heaven, and he is the bread of life. Therefore, that prayer, when the Lord instructed us to pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's not just giving reference to the essentials of life being provided for us, but it's also saying to us that we have that covenant with Almighty God, with our Heavenly Father, through Christ. When Christ died on the cross, he then enabled us to connect with him. And so rather, it can be translated as this, saying, "Give us this day our daily Yeshua. Give us this day our daily Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior." And so if one can just have a look at it from this perspective, it opens a whole new dimension, a whole new revelation of how to pray this prayer. Because every time we pray it, it is emphasizing the fact that we have that covenant cut, that covenant which rightfully belongs to us as born-again believers, blood-bought children of the living God. We can say, "Give us this day, Yeshua." And that is all-encompassing. And the more we look to Yeshua in the spiritual, we know that he is in the spiritual, but from the Lord's Prayer perspective, if you remember, those of you who've listened to previous sessions, you will know that I actually dealt with that scripture in Matthew 6, which says, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So as we pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," what we are actually doing is connecting with Yeshua pointing our faces to him, and then downloading heaven onto earth as we say, give us this day our daily Yeshua. In other words, it's a relationship that we have. And the more we focus our attention on him, the more we embrace what he has done and accomplished on the cross, the more he gives us the desires of our hearts, which are in line with his desires. And faith in him, just going back to that scripture in Romans 10 verse 12, it said there that he is abounding in riches for all who call upon him in faith and prayer. So the more each one of us, as individual believers in Christ, call upon our Lord and Savior in faith and prayer, the more the bread of heaven will manifest in our lives in whatever way is needed, whether it be a prayer for protection or a need for healing, a need for provision, whatever it might be. That bread of heaven is all-encompassing. Give us this day our daily bread means that the Lord is saying that he desires to manifest himself in such a way in individual lives, in families' lives, in marriages, in whatever the situation might need where there's a need. He is able to show himself as Lord and Savior and to reveal himself, manifest himself in whatever need is required. And that is the beauty of the scripture. And it opened for me my eyes to see that it's not just a matter of praying, oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread, as it were, you know, in the form of life's essentials. No, it has far greater depth to that. It's literally saying, thank you, Lord, you are the bread of heaven. Manifest yourself as the bread of heaven, the bread of life. Because wherever God manifests himself in life, he is actually, the curse is totally removed and the blessing is upon whatever the situation might be. Because Jesus died, Yeshua died to remove the curse and for us to be blessed as children of the one and only true living God. Now I just want to give an example here. I'll never forget how the bread of heaven, I mean, there have been many wonderful testimonies, and I know that many, many people have wonderful testimonies of how the bread of heaven has manifested in different ways, and we all can testify to that. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that we destroy the enemy through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But I want to share a testimony here of a situation where the bread of heaven manifested himself in such a miraculous way. And it was on the dump site, a local dump site in the Lardis Park area. And what a wonderful testimony this is. At that stage, I was connected to the Dutch Reformed Church outreach. They had an outreach to provide food. It was coordinated by Pastor Buti Mashlangu, and they had a soup kitchen going there. And I just went in to help out with the preparation and help out with the outreach. And Pastor Buti Mashlangu, and I went on this particular day, and it was quite amazing how this big pot of soup, as I was involved with the distribution, there were long queues of these people, all these recyclers that were doing a wonderful work of just trying to get all the plastics recycled, filthy, dirty. There's no amenities. It's a really a filthy environment. These people are doing a wonderful job of just trying to make a living on the dump site. And anyway, what actually happened this day was, in the process of distributing food and bread, it was a big pot of soup and bread rolls. And I was remember thinking, gosh, how on earth are all these people going to be fed? And yet it was as if that pot of soup just never ended, and the bread that was given out to people as they queued up, it was as if the bread of heaven just came down and manifested himself in a miraculous way of provision, because all these people were fed. And it certainly wasn't the amount of food that was actually, the physical amount of food that was in the pot and those rolls could never have actually fed all of the people that were lining up that day to receive some food. It had to be an act of God. It had to be a miracle working provision of God. And that's exactly what happened. I saw the bread of heaven, the bread of life, come down on that filthy, dirty dump site and just provide in such a miraculous way. What a testimony to the glorious God whom we serve, who we have the privilege of serving. And isn't that what God does? The presence of God comes in the most unlikely situations. A place not suitable for any human being to live, and yet these people were living there. At that stage, it has actually closed down. It always amazes me how God, he will take a most unlikely situation and he will perform his great miracles. And he manifested himself in all his glory. And there were other situations that took place where hardened sinners partook of the grace and the mercy of the Lord, reconciling with their Creator. And what a beautiful sight it was. And that's the bread of heaven that we serve. That's the bread of life. That is what he came to do. He came to this earth to reconcile man to himself. No matter how far gone that person had gone. I remember on other outreaches, what actually happened at a later stage was Graham actually came on board because he said to Butty, he felt that it would be good to try and get a church established on the dump site. And there were occasions where we worked as a team, the three of us, and we saw how the Lord manifested himself in the most beautiful way. There was one guy, he actually confessed that he had murdered 5 people, and yet the Lord just forgave him as he confessed his sin, and the Lord just washed him and cleansed him of all unrighteousness, and he reconciled with his Creator. There was another time where communion took place on the dump site, and how the Lord, again, just there was no modern technology to bring heaven down onto the earth. It was just so simple. Just so simple. I remember listening to some of those voices of the people, both men and women, just raising their voices to heaven. And it literally sounded like there were angels. There were angels singing. As we had communion, as we just enjoyed the presence of the Lord, the smells on that dump site were terrible. The people were filthy, dirty, poverty stricken, everything. You know, it was the most unlikely place for a church service. And yet it was there that the Lord, as the bread of heaven and the bread of life, just manifested himself. And I just wanted to give some of those examples, because if we can have an understanding of the Lord's love for people, his great love for mankind, and he is no respecter of persons, he will manifest himself on the dump site. He will manifest himself with the poor, with the rich. But the important thing is that we allow him, as the body of Christ, to do what he wants to do. And it is faith which will bring the manifestation of the power of God and the presence of God. He is rich to all who call upon him in faith. I want to just go to another scenario. And this time it's again emphasizing the showbread. In our own church service here in Pier van Reinefeld last Sunday, I actually shared on the importance of the showbread, again emphasizing the bread, the symbolism of the bread as found in the Old Testament. Now, the Hebrew word for bread is lechem hapanam. L-E-C-H-E-M, you see that word lechem again, meaning bread. Hapanum, H-A-P-A-N-U-M. It is the word for showbread in Hebrew, and it means the bread of faces, or the bread of many sides. In Exodus 25, verse 30, the Lord gave instructions to the Israelites, and he said, "You shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times." Now, just to give a bit of background to the significance of this bread, apparently 3 times a year, the children of Israel would make a pilgrimage to the temple where they were shown the table and the showbread. Now, the root word, panna, actually means the face, as the part that turns, to turn, to face, to appear or to look. So what would happen was the priests, every Sabbath, they would bake bread, and it was bread which had special ingredients, and it would remain fresh for the entire week, only to be replaced again the following Sabbath. And it would be, the bread would be placed on piles of six. There were actually 12 pieces of bread in all, which represented Israel, and we can partake of that as being spiritual Israel. We represent spiritual Israel as the 12 tribes of Israel. We are in the modern day church. The significance of that is we can call ourselves spiritual Israel. And the bread was placed there as a continual reminder of the presence of Almighty God. And he wanted the Israelites to remember him and to remember his face, to turn their faces towards him. And every time they looked at the showbread, they would see his face, as it were. They would see the significance of continually turning their faces towards him, and he would turn his face towards them, and they would be in his presence. And in the same way, we, as modern-day disciples, modern-day children, born-again Christians of the contemporary church, we need to continually turn our face towards him as our provider, as the one who desires for us to be in his presence as much as possible, continually, not allowing the distractions of the world system to stop us from enjoying his presence. And that is why it is so important to be in his presence, whether it be listening to the Bible as we travel in vehicles, praying in tongues, constantly making sure that we do not allow the distractions of this world system to prevent us from entering into his presence on a daily basis. Because it is as we turn our faces towards him, as we look towards him, our provider, our protector, the all-sufficient one, it is as we look to him and turn our faces towards him that he is able to do what he wants to do. He wants to manifest himself. He wants to provide. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to be the all-sufficient one. But it is our responsibility to be continually looking towards him, to be continually focusing on him as much as we possibly can. And that can be done even in a job situation. Obviously, we all are busy. We all have work that we have to do, no matter what that work might be. All can take responsibility in looking heavenward. It's actually known as practicing the presence of Almighty God, keeping a focus on him, making sure that our lives are in line with his will for our lives as individuals, as married couples, as families. It's so important that we are in the presence of the Lord and that we connect with the gathering of the saints, which is of extreme importance. It's also that continual reminder of getting together as the saints of God. The Bible says that in Hebrews that we are not to neglect the gathering of the saints, as many are prone to do. You see, it's that importance of the presence of God on an individual basis and also gathering together as his saints. And the enemy would want to try and distract people from doing that. And that is what he has done in so many instances. I just think of Facebook. The Lord actually spoke to me about this. So often Facebook can take Instagram. All of these things can actually, if one is not careful, it can detract from what God wants to do in the physical. And because so many people can hide behind a screen, a computer screen or a phone screen, and not really connect with the Lord and not connect with one another in the body of Christ. And so we need to be aware of that. This emphasis on the bread of heaven, the bread of life, he wants us to be in his presence. And we can do that irrespective of job situations. We can be in a place of practicing the presence of the Lord through a discipline, through making a choice, making it our priority. And it doesn't mean that we have to be super spiritual. No, not at all. It just means that we make Him number one. We make the Lord number one. And as we make Him number one, He then is able to manifest Himself in our job situations or whatever, whether it be a business, whether it be in a school situation, no matter what a person might be doing. It's that heart attitude of desiring Him above all else and putting the kingdom of God first, making sure that priorities are right. And as that heart attitude is there, the Lord is able to manifest Himself in the way that He so desires. As we turn our attention to Him, our focus towards Him, and make Him number one in our lives. And that was the emphasis of the bread of the presence, the showbread, to continually be in His presence and to be the shining lights of the world. In this very contaminated world system, we as born-again believers can then be the lights in the darkness as the Lord ordained us to be. So may the Lord just bless each and every person who has listened to this audio, and I just pray that this Lord's Prayer will take on a new dimension from maybe what you have experienced before, and that it will become a revelation of what it actually means. Give us this day our daily bread. It means we as the church are to download the bread of heaven every single day. And as we do that, He will manifest Himself in the physical. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Your wonderful presence. May Your presence grow more and more and more in the lives of each one of us as Your children, as born-again believers, as part of Your body. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray.